May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep and guard our hearts and minds as we now hear His Word. The text for today's proclamation, the sharing of good news, is from John chapter 10. Specifically, we're going to start with this context. It's the time of the Feast of Dedication that took place at Jerusalem. It was winter. Jesus was in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. When I preach a text, sometimes the text, I think, is really easy. And just even at the beginning of the week, I already know the beginning, the middle, the end. I know where everything's going to go on the sermon. I would say throughout the week, through Saturday night, through the 8:30 service, even through now, I'm still uncertain. So here we go. What's happening in this text, I think, for me, starts when they are. It's winter. And they're walking in the colonnade of Solomon. And through other descriptions of the temple, we know that that part of the temple is in the eastern section that would be sheltered from the cold winter winds that would hit Jerusalem. And so they're in winter, and they're in the spot when people would gather where they'd keep warm. So it kind of makes sense to me that Jesus and these people are talking, not just out in the wild open, but in a spot where they can keep warm. And they want to know, are they going to stay warm? Not only are they going to stay warm out of the winter winds, but are they going to stay warm and confident that God is present with them? And so they ask Jesus a question. Don't keep us in suspense any longer. Are you the Christ? This question takes place during the Feast of Dedication. This feast is also known as a Feast of Renewals, the Festival of Lights, or maybe you know it as Hanukkah. And it is a feast that was remembering and celebrating the rededication of the temple. This rededication took place in 164 BC. So about 190 years before Jesus and these people were talking in the colonnade of Solomon, the temple was rededicated. The reason it needed to be rededicated is because in 165 BC, King Antiochus from Syria came and took over Jerusalem and Judah. And he outlawed the worship of God. And to convince the people that God was no longer present and God no longer cared for them or could protect them, he set up a statue to the temple of Zeus. And then to make it extra special, a temple in that temple, he set up a statue for himself. And to make sure that they would never think of that place as a holy place for their God again, he sacrificed pigs on the altar. But then the Maccabees revolted, and they took over Jerusalem, Judah, and the temple. And they go to rededicate the temple. And this is where there's the tradition that they needed oil for the lamps to burn, but that they only had one night of oil to burn. But it takes 8 days to prepare more oil. And so they're going to have this festival of dedication, but they only have enough oil to light it for one night. Kind of an anticlimactic dedication. It's kind of like opening it up and then after a day having to close it again because they don't have enough oil. But then the tradition is that mysteriously that one night's oil lasted 8 days, so that there was enough oil after those 8 days prepared for the festival to continue. What does this Feast of Dedication add to this question that they ask of Jesus? Don't keep us in suspense any longer. Are you the Christ or should we wait for somebody else? They want to know, Jesus, are you going to protect us? Jesus, are you going to keep us safe? Jesus, are you going to keep us warm so that we no longer need to fear that another king like Antiochus is going to come and defile this place? Will you give to us the assurance that the presence of God is in our land again? And maybe they're even thinking ahead to Rome and King Herod and all these powers that are at work in this world, continuously bringing threats against them. And they want to know, in the middle of all these threats, Jesus, are you going to keep us safe? And so Jesus answers to them, I've already told you plainly, and you did not believe, because you are not the sheep of my flock. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. And he gives them the confidence that the sheep that follow him, he gives eternal life. and they never perish. No one will snatch them out of his hand. And he says, my Father, the one who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. He finishes this section by talking about the strength of his hands and how the sheep that know him will be safe for eternity. Because the ones that he hold are just the same as being held by the Father. Because he and the Father have the same purpose, the same will, the same desire. It's a tough message for the people to hear when Jesus tells them, I'm going to keep my people safe. But you don't see it. You don't hear it, and you don't believe it. This tension is still in our time today. We share the message of Jesus. We point to what he has done. We invite people to see the works of Jesus. We invite them to hear his words. And yet some will believe, and some will not. It's a difficult tension to have, to know that God's desire is that all people would come to the saving knowledge that his Son is here to rescue us, to redeem us, to be our Savior, and yet not all will hear that message. It's tough news. And in the middle of this struggle, this tension, what is Jesus' response? He does not enter into a debate. In this time when they're kind of huddled in this colonnade of Solomon's porch, protected from the wind, and they're all trying to keep warm, they're pulling Jesus into some sort of cold-hearted debate, and yet he doesn't get grabbed into that. He just simply says, look at the works that I've done. They're in unity with the very desire of the Father. As the Father has worked continuously in this land to rescue his people, to give them safety and protection with confidence that the glory of God will shine in this land, as my Father has continuously been rescuing you and keeping you safe, I've been doing the very same. I and the Father have the same will and the same desire, but you don't see it. What does this tell us about what we should do in this world today? I think people still are searching and seeking for safety and protection against the threats that surround them. People are still seeking for answers. And we have that. We have the promise of Jesus to be able to share with them. And as we share these promises of Jesus, we don't do so in a debate that tries to argue them into the kingdom. We just simply point to the works of Jesus. We ask them to see what Jesus has done. We ask them to hear his words. And then we trust it will be the work of the Holy Spirit to call those who will believe. We will not win people into the kingdom by arguing with them. Mothers, you will not win your children into right behavior by arguing with them. You have probably tried that, and it works for a while, and yet you know ultimately we're family because of how we embrace and care for one another. The warmth and the confidence of the love of God is being revealed in the way that Jesus is shepherding his people. And he knows that there are some sheep that will be wayward. In Luke 15, he describes how the Father deals with these wayward sheep. He doesn't argue with them. He doesn't drive them into submission. He waits. And as the prodigal son returns, he celebrates. As Jesus is there on that cold winter day, and he's letting people know, and this feast of dedication, when they're worried about Antiochus, or whatever king would be Antiochus in our generation today, as they're worried about the threats around them, he gives them this confidence. My hand is strong. My hand is warm. My hand is certain. I want to hold you and care for you. And the hand that I reach out to hold you is the very hand of the Father. And as the Father is greater than all, and no one can snatch them out of the Father's hand, my hands are that strong, that warm, and that certain as well. I want each of you to know that the love and the care of the Father has been revealed in Jesus. See the works of Jesus. Hear his words. And I trust that as you see, as you hear, that you will believe through through the work of the Holy Spirit upon your heart. And as there are some that may be wayward, as some that are not sitting in the pew that you wish that were, I look to the example of Jesus and realize I won't argue them into being here. I'll simply ask them to look and to see that the will of the Father and the will of Jesus are the same, that you would be safe, that you would be cared for, that you would be rescued. And that's all I can point to. And I trust that that is enough, because that's exactly what Jesus does. In the name and promise of our Savior Jesus, amen.